Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Stimulus checks, small business loans, rent waivers, mortgage payment deferrals, eviction moratoriums. Wow, there's a lot that we're learning a lot about right now. Money is moving in dramatically different directions, in some cases not at all. The money rules are changing, and there are promises of help on the way, but we have some of the same questions that you do about all of this, and on the phone to help are two guests, Sanjay Varshney, finance professor at Sacramento State. Sanjay, glad to have you back with us again.
Thank you, Beth. Good morning.
And George Giannatsis is with us. He's an economist with Sac State. George, glad to have you with us as well.
Thank you. Good morning. And good morning, Sanjay.
So, Professor Giannatsis, do you want to add anything to the property tax discussion we're having?
I didn't hear most of it, but it does sound like it's the proper thing to do, to have some deferrals on a case-by-case basis, remove penalties, since we're doing that with other types of debt, you know, credit card. In other words, some banks are doing some deferrals now for folks who are, and utility companies. So it does make sense to do this, in my view.
Let me follow the path in one example. If a renter doesn't want to pay rent, and there is some latitude in deferring that right now, that means the property owner isn't getting the rent. You've got a property tax payment due, and you've got maybe a mortgage payment due to the bank. And then the buck has, in a sense, been passed to the bank. And then what happens? You know, what's going on with this trail?
Right. You know, what a couple of economists have thought of is a moratorium on all payments, you know, worldwide. You know, but that might be difficult to coordinate. At any rate, if income is being paused, then perhaps debt payments can be paused, a moratorium. At any rate, yes, the banks would then find themselves in loans that would be considered bad, and lending would worsen the amount of lending. At any rate, yes, that would be a problem. So banks need to get paid, and any rate, that would be certainly a problem.
So what I hear you saying is we don't really have an answer to this right now. And you've got maybe a property owner that isn't getting a rent payment with this big bill due on Friday, and they're the ones caught right now in the middle, correct?
Yes. I'm sure, you know, once again, if we defer the mortgage payments, if banks defer that, and don't forget there's a big utility bills, too, for apartment owners and homeowners that are renting out. Yes, you know, basically a deferring could be of some help. But with a stimulus package, the consumers eventually can pay the rent once the pandemic unemployment insurance gets fed into the states, and then the $1,200 per person plus the children $500. The spending will eventually take place. Hopefully.
So, Professor Varshney, where are those stimulus checks, and who's going to qualify for them?
Yeah, so it's a good question, Beth. I would step back a little bit and just look at the broader field of the help that's being made available to people and to small businesses. So, and I know, you know, the last time I was on this show, I think I might have mentioned that one of the key factors on the success of all of this money being made available is going to be the speed and the execution as to how quickly that money can get into the hands of the households as well as the small businesses. So if I step back a little bit and just look at the broader help that has been put on the table, literally between the Federal Reserve and Congress, they have put roughly $6 trillion worth of help on the table, which translates into 30% of our GDP or of a total economy in the United States. That's a tremendous, it's a massive response. Now, going back to some of the comments that George was making and even earlier than that, in general, the lending institutions are the ones that are being equipped with the money first. So it doesn't matter about where the trail starts and where the trail ends. If you look at the Federal Reserve, they have created six different facilities for funding, whether it's the repo market, whether it's the money market funds, whether it's the asset-backed securities, whether it's basically corporate bonds, whether it's the muni bonds. And now, this week, the Federal Reserve also announced that they're actually going to be willing to support additional $350 billion worth of loans to small businesses, which is over and above what Congress already approved. And I think the details are still, you know, we're still waiting on the details to be released later in the week. So, in general, if you're asking where does the buck stop, it starts with the lending institutions, because they are the ones who are being equipped directly or indirectly with all the funding coming either through the Federal Reserve or through Congress. And in addition to the lending institutions, we also have the SBA that's being equipped, because they are responsible for the administration of some of these programs. So if somebody gets caught in the middle somewhere, and somebody basically is trying to figure out how do you basically make sure that they are made whole on whether it's a rent that got missed or whether it was basically a payment that was necessary to keep an employee, I think in this very chaotic time, the first thing they should do is contact the lender, because that's where I think that some of the answers can be ironed out, because the lending institutions, like I said, are being equipped with all the funding through those packages, whether it was the $2.2 trillion that Congress approved or whether it's the Federal Reserve that has already injected $2 trillion and that can be levered up by another $4 trillion. So I would start with at least making those phone calls, because at the end of the day, I think the trail all ends back to the lending institutions. As far as the households are concerned, I think the checks should start arriving in the mail in the next couple of weeks. And I think even there, I think there's some chaos, because we know that some people who already have basically accounts set up through the banking systems, you know, are much more likely to see the money deposited quickly compared to somebody who's going to basically get a physical check in the mail, which takes much more time for that to happen. So there's obviously chaos right now. We understand. There's obviously a lot of questions that are not answered. But I think this is a time when the more calls you make, I think at least you can get some of the answers. And then there are really excellent sites that have all these resources and what to do, and FAQs all listed. So, for example, even locally, if you go into a Chamber of Commerce website, or you go into the state treasurer's website or the local controller's website, they actually give you some of these answers through an FAQ, which I know is very, I know people are stressed. And the last thing you want to do right now is basically have to go through more, you know, sort of research on your own. But I think it's good to ask questions, because I think hopefully you'll find answers.
So, George, do you have anything to add to that? Essentially, what Sanjay is saying is, try not to get too anxious about all this. The bigger safety net is being built on the other end of the chain. And in the meantime, just make sure you're in the pipeline. Is that the most important advice to consumers?
And the consumers can go to the IRS website and Franchise Tax Board to, if they don't have direct deposit previously, they can set it up currently to get that to get the money sooner, rather than wait for the paycheck, wait for the stimulus check.
And what's your view about the need for more small business relief? We've got it on the federal level and the state level, but there's kind of a rapid depletion of all those funds. In fact, in some cases, it's already been spoken for.
Yes, and more is coming. And even for the stimulus for consumers, more is needed, presumably. We can't forget the multiplier effects that I think Sanjay was alluding to earlier. Right now, we have more of the reverse negative multiplier. In other words, the $1,200 that an individual may receive will actually increase the total spending down the pipeline, so to speak. But more will be needed for sure. And, this one argument is that we should have just started by subsidizing the payrolls of companies, but fiscal policy has this long lag, as we see currently. Monetary policy lag in terms of implementation. Monetary policy is a lot quicker.
I think some small business owners would have liked what you just said, George, and that is maybe immediately give relief somehow to employers instead of having employers lay off and pay their staff and then try to recoup that money through a loan?
The idea is you can get a forgivable loan if you keep the payroll, the small businesses, that sort of thing.
but you're saying the money up front would have been more stabilizing to small
businesses?
That's
what some would argue. That would, I mean, it could help. More stabilizing, probably, for the companies. Probably so. Of course, the consumers might be wondering, you know, if it's going to be passed along to them eventually. But yeah, forgivable loan, as long as the payrolls are maintained.
I want to play a clip from Governor Newsom, and he actually spoke about this to Ari Shapiro on NPR yesterday afternoon. So let's hear what he said.
We're going to need more federal support well beyond, let me say this respectfully, but also responsibly. And I'm not someone who looks for handouts. I think California could be the most resourceful state in our nation in this recovery. And at the same time, I'm saying this, we're going to need substantial increase in a fourth stimulus above and beyond what they're currently even offering in order to protect the state and the most vulnerable citizens in the state and to protect cities and counties that have been entrusted to do the same.
So let's go back to Professor Sanjay Varshney. How much pressure do you think governors collectively are putting on the federal government right now?
Tremendous pressure,
right.
I can imagine, given just Governor Newsom's comments. And rightfully so, too, I think. And just to add a few more comments, you know, just to the previous conversation, I think the analogy I would use is for many of the small businesses especially, and many of the individual households, it's like they're going into cardiac arrest and they're waiting for the ambulance to show up and hope that they can actually reach ER on time. And the challenge is, I think that much of the money that's already been put on the table, I mean, I cannot dispute that the response has already been massive. But the challenge is, how quickly can we get this money into the hands of people and into the hands of the businesses? And there's a good chance that many of the small businesses will not survive the wait that is, you know, that's basically entailed by the time the money actually shows up.
I'm going to I'm going to interrupt you for a moment. Do you know any small business owner or citizen who has received any state or federal financial checks, money of any sort yet?
I haven't heard.
No, because the process of applying for those loans has just begun, especially with all the regional banks and through the SBA. And in fact, the SBA is just basically rolling out their program this week. But there is help otherwise, Beth. So, for example, the $1 million that the city of Sacramento put up, for example, as loans to the small businesses in Sacramento has already been distributed. So there is help coming, maybe not from the state and the federal level immediately, but there are other programs that have already been put in place, whether it's private sector or whether it's basically kind of donations. So there is a lot of help. And then there may be more help needed down the road. I mean, obviously, as an insurance plus, maybe it might really be necessary. But I cannot dispute the fact that right now we already have a massive response on the table that will take some time to get distributed.
I do want to talk about unemployment insurance claims at this point. There's federal money added to the state money. Again, the process has been overwhelmed by, what did the governor say, 2.3 million unemployment insurance claims in the state of California. Do you expect more money on the federal level? George, do you want to say something about unemployment benefits?
Well, we're still waiting. I think the state agency, such as EDD, is still waiting for the funds for the pandemic unemployment insurance. Right now, the average unemployment insurance payout is about 60%, and the stimulus bill is supposed to make the person whole, and in some cases receive more than 100% of their income, which is justified because of all the additional expenses due to the pandemic. But no, the money hasn't yet been channeled, from what I understand, to state agency handling unemployment insurance. Again, there's the state unemployment insurance, and then the pandemic unemployment insurance that's supposed to be augmenting what the unemployed person is receiving.
I think the visual, and Sanjay, to get back to you with the images, is, you know, that line of a business or a personal household going along, and how long can it last before it intersects the line coming up with the relief funds and the relief package?
Correct.
So Are we going to see some massive failure in the state of small businesses? We've already heard a 30% figure in terms of restaurants. What's your projection for small businesses overall?
There will be some collateral damage. There will be some. There will be many examples of how, for example, small businesses were not able to basically get the help in a timely manner. But this is unprecedented, right? I mean, this is something that we're facing for the first time, where we're testing the systems, we're testing the technology, we're testing the processes, and I am a little bit more optimistic, to be honest. I think things are happening, and they're happening fairly fast, given that, you know, we were taken by surprise. I know it's very hard to have people basically be patient, especially if they're really stressed financially and otherwise, but I think the systems are in place right now, and they are in motion. And it is going to take a little time for the motion to basically result in some good, positive outcomes. And like I said, I'm not denying the fact that there will be some businesses that will shut down because of the fact that they could not get the help in a timely manner. But the response is there, and I'm just hoping that the response can basically be speeded up.
Well, I think I'll leave it there with both of you. And obviously, this wasn't the day to have answers, but I think sometimes just talking about it in a collective way can be reassuring, as you just said. So I thank you both. We'll call this to be continued, okay?
Okay. Have a good day.
Sure.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Safe. Bye-bye. Take care. Sanjay Varshney is finance professor at Sacramento State. George Giannatsis is an economist with Sac State. I want to end this segment with one more comment from Dr. Deborah Birx. She said this morning on NBC's Today Show.
Well, I think you can see how California and Washington have done. Those were our sentinel communities. Those were our first red alerts that this had reached a significant issue in the United States. We're really watching them very carefully because they really have seemed to have really strong public health measures and excellent health commissioners that really are changing the trajectory of the epidemic in those regions. So that's what we're trying to learn from.
All right, something for you to think about. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, our uplift is next. It's pretty jazzy today, so stay with us.